الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة النساء اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الذين امنوا بالله ورسوله والكتاب الذي نزل على رسوله والكتاب الذي انزل من قبل ومن يكفر بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الاخر فقد ضل ضلالا بعيدا وقال عز وجل كما ورد في سورة الحجرات قالت الاعراب آمنا قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا اسلمنا ولما يدخل الايمان في قلوبكم وان تطيعوا الله ورسوله لا يلتكم من اعمالكم شيئا ان الله غفور رحيم انما المؤمنون الذين امنوا بالله ورسوله ثم لم يرتابوا وجاهدوا باموالهم وانفسهم في سبيل الله اولئك هم الصادقون صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ربنا الهمنا رشدنا واعذنا من شرور انفسنا اللهم ربنا نور قلوبنا بالإيمان واشرح صدورنا للإسلام ووفقنا أن نجاهد في سبيلك بأموالنا وأنفسنا وارزقنا شهادة في سبيلك آمين يا رب العالمين Dear brothers and sisters and sons and daughters in Islam السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته You must be feeling that we are still regarding our discussion on Iman, still on the same place where we were at the end of the session before the last one. That is, a part of the fourth discussion is still remaining, and that is, what is the relative importance of the three pillars of faith, three pillars of Iman, as compared to each other. I told you the three pillars, main pillars of Iman or faith, Islamic faith. Please note here, actually there is no word in English equivalent to the word Iman. But we are forced to translate it by belief, by faith, but actually they are in no way equivalent to the word Iman. So we have to use and repeat the word Iman. So the three main pillars of Iman, ki Tawheed or Al-Imanu Billah, the Ma'ad or Al-Iman Bil-Akhirah, and thirdly, Iman bin Risalah, Iman bin Nubuwwah. Out of these three, essentially, basically, fundamentally, and in principle, the real Iman is Iman Billah. It includes all the other Imaniyat, all the other pillars of faith in it. What is Iman bin Risalah? It is the extension of the attribute of Allah. He is Al-Hadi, the one who guides. And the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manifests itself in the form of Wahi, Nabuwah, Risalah, books. So it's the corollary of Iman Billah. In the same way, what is Iman Bil-Akhirah? It is the corollary and the extension of the attribute of Allah. He is Al-Adl, and the manifestation of His justice is going to be on the Day of Judgment and in the hereafter. So actually Iman, essentially, basically, fundamentally and in principle, Iman is Iman Billah and Tawheed. That is why you must be remembering, at least some of you, if you learnt by heart in your early years of life, the wordings of Al-Imanul Mujmal and Al-Imanul Mufassal. What is the Iman in brief? Mujmal. آمنتو باللہ کما ہوا بے اسمائہ و صفاتہ و قبلتو جمیع احکامہ اقرار باللسان و تصدیق بالقلب. No mention of angels, no mention of books, no mention of انبیاء, no mention of messengers, no mention of resurrection, no mention of the day of judgment, nothing of the sort. This is ایمان in essence. This is the ایمان مجمل. In brief, the whole ایمان is ایمان باللہ. آمنتو باللہ کما ہوا بے اسمائہ و صفاتہ. I believe in Allah as He is manifest by His names and attributes. وَقَبِلْتُ جَمِعَ احْكَامِهِ. I accept all His commands. As we find in the last but one ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah, آمن الرسول بما انزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. The essential result of Iman is سمعنا وأطعنا. We listen and obey. So آمنت باللہ کما ہوا بے اسمائہ و صفاتہ و قبلت جمیع احکامہ. And now note the two expressions which are very basic, very important. And our next discussion, you know, that will be based on these two expressions. اقرار باللسان و تصدیق بالقلب. We are verbally attesting to it. And we have the conviction in our hearts. These two things go to make Iman. Iqrarun bil lisan, the verbal attestation, the shahada. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. This is the verbal attestation. And then there should be tasdeequn bil qalb, the conviction in the heart. So this is Iman-e-Mujmal. This is the fundamental and the basic Iman, and all comprehensive. Now what is the importance of Iman bil akhirah? The moral and practical influence of Iman depends essentially on Iman bil akhirah. The sense of responsibility, the fear, the sense that you have to stand before your Lord. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. You will have to face the grand accountability of the Day of Judgment. It will keep you on the straight path. It's most effective. If the Iman bil Akhirah is not there, or it is complete, you will not be able to practice what you believe, or what you say, or what you profess. There will remain a gap between what you say and what you do. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. It's actually the sense of responsibility and the fear. أَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. Who had the fear that he will have to stand on one day before his Lord and face that accountability. So this is most important. Moral point of view, practical point of view, the most important Iman is Iman bil Akhirah. Resurrection, Day of Judgment, and the life hereafter. And legally and constitutionally, the most important Iman is Iman bil Risalah. Because it is the dividing line between who is a Muslim and who is not a Muslim. One can be a muwahid, a Unitarian. He believes in Allah, all His attributes, fully well. He believes in Akhirah, hereafter, resurrection. If he doesn't believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is outside the pale of Islam. So dividing line actually is the Iman bil Risalah. It is the line dividing the Muslims and the non-Muslims. You can find people among Hindus who are muwahideen, among other people, might be in Jews. You can find among them who believe in resurrection. But because they don't believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are non-Muslims. So regarding the legal aspect, the constitutional aspect of Iman, this Iman bil Risalah is most decisive, most important. Secondly, Iman billah will only be correct and acceptable in Islam if it includes all the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which have been told to us by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amantu billahi kama huwa bi asma'ihi wa sifat. We couldn't know the names. We couldn't know. We didn't have any source of knowing the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So only that Iman billah is mu'tabar. It is acceptable, acknowledgeable, which includes all the names and attributes of Allah which have been given to us through wahi, through the books, through the prophets, and finally through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also, the only Iman bil Akhirah which includes all the details that have been given to us through wahi, through prophets, and finally through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will be acceptable and acknowledgeable. The details of resurrection, the details of hisab, يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ, the details of that accountability, the details of Jannah, the details of Naar and Jahannam, all these details, we don't have any source of knowledge. And we cannot know these things except through Wahi, through Risalah, and finally, as I said, through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Quran also, we have been given through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he has been given much more knowledge, additional to the Quran, in addition to the Quran. أُوتِيتُ الْقُرْآنَ وَمِثْلُهُ مَعَهُ. I have been given Quran and something else also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me some more knowledge also. And on the basis of that knowledge, he has told us. So now, to sum up, fundamentally, basically, essentially, and in principle, the whole Iman, all-inclusive, is Iman billah or Tawheed. Most important. But legally, constitutionally, the most important Iman is Iman bil Risalah. And morally and practically, to have the influence on the characters of the people, the behavior of the people, the most important Iman is the Iman bil Akhirah. And now we are going to the fifth and the sixth and the seventh headings. They will be discussed jointly now. The fifth is the two aspects of Iman. The sixth, the relationship between Iman and Amal. What's the relationship between Iman and Amal Salih, the good deeds? And thirdly, the solution of an age-old controversy, whether Iman can increase as well as decrease, or it doesn't increase at all, nor it decreases at all. So these were the three headings, the fifth, sixth, and seventh. I have recited in the beginning Ayah number 136 of Surah An-Nisa. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu aminu billahi wa rasulihi wal kitab alladhi nazzala ala rasulihi wal kitab alladhi anzala min qabl. O you who believe, have real belief in Allah and His Messenger and the book that He sent down to His Messenger and the book that He sent before. What does it tell? There are two aspects of Iman. You know, the word which comes automatically on the tip of my tongue is the two levels of Iman. But actually, levels of Iman are innumerable. Levels, the depth of Iman, the intensity of Iman. The Iman of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can we imagine the depth and intensity of his Iman? The Iman of Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala. Can we imagine the intensity and the depth of his Iman? Then the Iman of the Sahaba. Then you go on. Coming to the Iman of any one of us, innumerable levels of Iman. I should say, as many levels as many human beings. But these are two, you may say, these levels can be divided into two main parts. This is one mode of expression. Or you can say, there are two aspects of Iman. What are those two aspects? The Iman based on verbal attestation. Whosoever recites the kalima, Ashhadu Allah ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Whether he was a Hindu or a Sikh or a Parsi or a Christian or a Jew or a Buddhist, whatever he might have been, atheist, he might be anything. No sooner than he recites, he utters these words, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, he becomes a Muslim. He becomes a mu'min. This is the first stage of Iman, based on verbal attestation. But this is not the real Iman. The real Iman would be when you have the real conviction in your hearts. اِقْرَارٌ بِاللِّسَانِ وَتَصْدِيقٌ بِالْقَلْبِ. It must descend from your tongues, the tips of the tongues, to the depths of your heart. Then it becomes real Iman. So these are the two aspects. So in this ayah, who have been addressed? يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُ. People who are doing the verbal attestation, who are reciting the kalima of shahada, who profess to be mu'mins, who say with their tongues, آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَالْبَعْثِ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. So these are the people who have been addressed, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And then comes the فَعِلُ الْأَمْرِ, the imperative, the command, the order. آمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Have real faith, have real conviction in Allah and His Messenger. وَالْكِتَابِ الَّذِي نَزَّلَ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِهِ. And in the book that He sent down to His Messenger gradually, bit by bit. And the book that He sent down before. So this is most important ayah of the Qur'an, which decides finally that there are two different Imans, two different aspects of Iman, or you may call them two different levels of Iman. Now please take it from me. The first is the legal Iman. On this is based our social, legal and constitutional status as Muslim. Why? Because we can't peep into the hearts of the people. We have not been able to invent so far. No electrocardiogram, no EKG, nothing of that sort. can tell you whether real iman is there in the heart or not. And the iman in the heart, the real conviction in the heart, is not verifiable. So you have to base the legal, constitutional, social structure of the Muslim society or the Muslim state in this world on legal iman, which is based on the verbal attestation. But this is not the real iman. The real iman is when there is conviction in the existence and unity and the attributes of Allah. That this conviction in the existence of angels, the institution of Wahy, the Anbiya, the prophets, then the messengers, then the books, and in the finality of prophethood in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the conviction of resurrection, day of judgment, and then reward, either good reward of good deeds in paradise, in Jannah, or the punishment in Jahannam, the hell. Conviction. There is a hell of difference. Zeish-kutab-e-saburi hazar farsangast. There is a distance of 1,000 miles between these two. Now, I have narrated 2 ayat from Surah Al-Fujarat also. These are ayat I had recited, I should say. 2 ayat from Surah Al-Fujarat, ayah number 14, ayah number 15. قَالَتِ الْعَرَابُ آمَنَّا. These Bedouins are claiming that we have come to believe, we have become Mu'mins. قُلْ. Tell them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا. You have not at all come to believe. Don't be mistaken. Don't be under a wrong notion. You have not at all come to believe. You have not become mu'min. وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا. But you may say, we have become Muslims, or we have surrendered. وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Until this time, the real iman has not entered your hearts. In the same surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said about the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانَ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made real iman very dear to you. You love iman. And now your hearts are shining with the light of that iman, that real iman, that burning faith, the living conviction. So it's now these 2 ayat have given us 2 terms. In the ayah 136 of Surah An-Nisa, we have 2 imans. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, aminu. Now instead of iman, the legal iman, here we have the word Islam. قَالَتِ الْعَرَابُ آمَنَّا قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُلُوا أَسْلَمْنَا. These Bedouins claim we have become Mormons. Tell them, you have not at all become Mormons. All you can say is you have become Muslims. Because in Islam, the 5 pillars of Islam that have been given to us by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the word iman is not included at all. The most famous hadith, most authentic, muttafaqun alayh, agreed upon by Bukhari and Muslim, both, rahimahumallah, and Abdullah ibn Umar, radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, بُنِيَ الْإِسْلَامُ عَلَىٰ خَمْسٍ شَهَادَةِ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهِ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ وَصَوْمِ رَمَضَانَ وَحَجِّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. Did you find the word iman here? No. Only the verbal attestation. Whosoever testifies verbally with his tongue, Shahadat la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah. And to it add four modes of worship. The prayers, the fasting, the zakah and the hajj. And these are the five pillars of Islam. So this is the most profound issue, a basic principle if we can understand it. Because, now please let me give you, there is a problem, a paradox, a dilemma, to which, about which our enemies can say there is contradiction. The enemies would call it contradiction. But we have to accept the problem is there. Although there can be no contradiction in Quran and Hadith. But apparently there is a contradiction. And I am calling it a problem, a paradox, a dilemma. What is it? Here Quran says, قَالَتِ الْعَرَابُ آمَنَّا قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. I have translated already. These Bedouins are claiming that we have become Mormons. Tell them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have not at all become Mormon. All you can say, all you can claim is that you have become Muslims. And on the other hand, in the ayah number 94 of Surah An-Nisa, Allah Ta'ala Himself says, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ أَلْقَى إِلَيْكُمُ السَّلَامَ لَسْتَ مُؤْمِنًا. Don't say to anyone, there can be two translations now, who say salam to you or who claim Islam for themselves. Don't say, you cannot say you are not a mu'min. There is a problem. لا تقولوا لمن ألقى إليكم السلام لست مؤمن. Whosoever says to you, Assalamu alaikum. You can't say you are not a mu'min. You have to accept him as a mu'min. Or whosoever presents salamati, salamah to you. Whosoever says, I am a Muslim. You can't say you are not a mu'min. And there, قَالَتِ الْعَرَابُ آمَنَّا قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُلُوا أَسْلَمْنَا وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Apparently there is a contradiction. We know there cannot be any contradiction in Quran, but there is a problem to resolve. A paradox to solve. A dilemma to solve. And let me quote an incident, very important incident. It will throw the light on the complexity of this dilemma or problem or paradox. Once during a battle, jihad fi sabilillah, Hazrat Usama ibn Zayd radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, who was very dear to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like his grandson. The Prophet adopted Hazrat Zayd radiyallahu ta'ala anhu as his son. But later on, when Surah Ahzab was revealed, you know. Otherwise before that he was called Zayd ibn Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But later again he reverted to Zayd ibn Harsa. And Usama was the son of Zayd, so very dear to Muhammad, just as a grandson. It happened that he had, you know, a man-to-man, one-to-one duel with a kafir, mushrik. And when that kafir or mushrik was overpowered absolutely, and he felt that now I am absolutely at the mercy of Usama, he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Usama radiallahu ta'ala anhu thought, as any one of us would have thought, it's only an excuse. He's not reciting the kalima from his heart sincerely. He wants only to be saved. So he didn't spare his life, killed him. But there was something within him now, whether I have done something wrong or something correct. He himself came and reported the incident to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet was angry, at least not pleased. He said, you have done something wrong. You have committed a blunder. And let me quote here the wording of the Prophet. According to the hadith in Bukhari, the Prophet said, أَفَلَا شَقَقْتَ مِنْ قَلْبِهِ حَتَّى تَعْلَمَ أَقَالَهَا أَمْ لَا. Could you open his heart and see for yourself whether he uttered these words sincerely or not? You know the anger in these words. This is displeasure. According to hadith in Ibn Majah, Sunan Ibn Majah rahimahullah, فَحَلَّا شَقَقْتَ عَمْ بَطْنِهِ فَعَلِمْتَ مَا فِي قَلْبِهِ. Why didn't you open his abdomen and see? What did it mean? You couldn't do it. It cannot be verified. How could you decide? He was not true. He was not sincere. There might be 99%, you know, circumstantial evidence that he is uttering these words insincerely. But there remains 1% at least possibility that he is uttering these words sincerely. And the words in the Sahih of Imam Muslim, you know, they are much stronger. فَكَيْفَ تَسْمَعُ يَا أُسَامَةَ بِلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ إِذْ جَاءَتْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. What will you do, O Usama, when this kalma, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, will come against you on the Day of Judgment? I was there. This kalama, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I was there. I was the shield for that person. And Usama killed the person. Now you know the complexity, how sensitive this issue is. Now let me add to another dimension, you know, to this complexity, this paradox, this dilemma, this problem, to which I said the enemies will call contradiction. On the one hand, we have so many hadiths which tell us, مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ دَخْلَ الْجَنَّةِ. In some we have found, مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ مُخْلِصًا عَنْ قَلْبِهِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Whosoever says these words, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, at least sincerely, he will enter paradise. And on the other side, we have ahadith. Let me quote a few. The first is from Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, included in both the sahihs of Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim. The most authentic ahadith, I have told you, are those on the authenticity of whom these two topmost muhaddithin agree. لا يزني الزاني حين يزني وهو مؤمن ولا يسرق السارق حين يسرق وهو مؤمن ولا يشرب الخمر حين يشرب وهو مؤمن. Nobody commits adultery in a state of iman. He's not iman. He's not mu'min at that time. Nobody drinks liquor, khamr, in the state of iman. He is not a mu'min at that time. Nobody commits a theft in the state of iman. Then there is a hadith from Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala an. It is included in Sunan of Imam Bayhaqi. لا إيمان لمن لا أمانة له ولا دين لمن لا عهد له. And the words of Hazrat Anas رضي الله تعالى عنه are, قلما ختمنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلا قال لا إيمان لمن لا أمانة له ولا دين لمن لا عهد له. It was only seldom that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us any lecture or khutbah or sermon, and he didn't say these words. He always repeated these words in all his sermons. There is no iman for whom there is no amana, who is not trustworthy. He has no iman whatsoever. And the one who doesn't keep his words, his promise, has no deen of him. He has no deen whatsoever. Note the categorical statement. How sweeping, how categorical are these statements. قَلَّمَا خَتَبَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمِ اللَّهِ قَالْ لَا إِمَانَ لِمَنْ لَا أَمَانَةَ لَهُ وَلَا دِينَ لِمَنْ لَا أَحْدَ لَهُ. And coming to the last, and be prepared for the shock. Once, this is in Bukhari, and Hazrat Abi Shurayh al-Adawi, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, once the Prophet said thrice, Wallahi la yuminu, Wallahi la yuminu, Wallahi la yuminu. I swear by Allah, he is not a mu'min. I swear by Allah, that person is not a mu'min. I swear by Allah, that person is not a mu'min. The Sahaba trembled and asked, Who, Ya Rasulullah? Man, Ya Rasulullah? What was the reply? الَّذِي لَا يَعْمَنُ جَارُهُ بَوَائِقَهُ. The one whose neighbor is not in peace due to his mischiefs. Just an immoral, uncultured attitude, uncivilized attitude. No kabira, no big sin, no shirk, no kufr, no adultery, no usury, no theft. Only this character, this attitude, that your neighbor is not in peace due to your mischiefs. Wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min. Now keep these ahadiths. I think these three will suffice. And keep the other ahadith, there is an apparent contradiction. Now, what is the solution? I feel that these discussions are quite difficult, complicated. But I want that these be included in these lectures. These are very basic issues. Regarding this dilemma or paradox or problem or apparent contradiction, there have been 6 shades of opinion during the 1400 years history of the Muslim Ummah. Extreme left, moderate left, left to the center, right to the center, moderate center and extreme right. Extremes are absolute zalala, reaching the level of kufr. The moderates on the left and right, they are shades of zalala, no doubt, not reaching the level of kufr. But the average are 2 opinions, and they are very important. They are very close to each other. The left to the center and the right to the center, they come together. The one is the position of Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, and most of the muhaddiseen. And to the right of the center is the position of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah. What is extreme left? Position that Khawarij took. Whosoever commits a major sin he immediately becomes a kafir. Now you can kill him. Mubahul dam, mubahul mal. You can kill him. You can have all his belongings as booty, as malul ghanima. You can take his wife or wives as your, what should you say, concubines, slaves, slave girls. No sooner than you commit a major maasiya, kabira, you become a kafir. That was the position taken by Khawarij. And I told you, it was agreed upon, they have left the pale of Islam. They went out of the folds of Islam, they become kuffar. This is extreme left. Next to them come the Mu'tazila. Whosoever commits a sin, he comes out of Iman and Islam, but doesn't become a kafir. There is a no man's land in between Islam and Iman and Kufr. They call it manzilatun bainal manzilatain, a mid position between two extremes. Kufr, Iman and Islam taken together, they have committed a sin, so they have come out of the region of Islam and Iman, but not entered Kufr. Here they are different from the Khawarij. So actually, it didn't pose a practical problem. If he is not a kafir, well, you can't kill him. He is not mubahul dam, he is not mubahul mal. You can't take his property and belongings. So practically, there was no problem. But in the case of the Khawarij, the problem was very great. They declared Hazrat Ali as kafir. Declared Hazrat Muawiyah as kafir. Abu Musa Ashari kafir. Amr ibn al-As kafir. And they were the ones who killed Hazrat Ali, martyred him. Ibn Maljum, Kharji. Let us proceed. Not go to history. The time is very limited. The third position, this is left to the center. This is the position of Imam Bukhari, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, most of the Muhaddiseen, that these are included in Iman. And if there are sins, the Iman is not complete. If there is some tasdeeq remaining in the heart, he is accepted as Muslim. He is not a kafir at all. But deeds and actions are an integral part of Iman. Al-Imanu qawlun wa'amalun. Iman includes both these things. The qawl, the verbal attestation, as well as the amal. This is the position of the Muhaddiseen, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah. Because he is the Sayyidul Muhaddiseen, he stands at the top of the list of the Muhaddiseen. What's the position of Dawah? We are coming to the right of the center. That is Imam Abu Hanifa. No doubt, Raisul Fuqaha. He is at the top of the jurists in Islam. No doubt about it. Rather, I feel, he is the topmost jurist of the human race. His sense, legal sense, was very acute, very deep. Legal and constitutional sense. What is his position? Actions and deeds and Iman, they are two separate entities. Al-Imanu qawlun bil lisan wa tasdeequn bil qalb. Action and deed is a separate entity altogether. And even if a person commits a major sin,
he doesn't become a kafir at all. And on the day of judgment, his good deeds and bad deeds will be balanced against each other. If the good deeds are more than the bad deeds, he will go straight to the paradise. If the bad deeds are heavier, that side of the balance is heavier than the good deeds, then he will be thrown in the fire of hell for some time, till he gets the punishment proportionate to his bad deeds, then he will be taken out, and then he will enter finally in the paradise. But Iman and Amal are two separate entities. This is the basic difference. Imam Bukhari and Muhaddiseen say Iman and Amal are one. And Imam Abu Hanifa says, no, Iman and Amal are separate entities. Which since Iman in quantity, the depth decreases, but it doesn't vanish. Now you go to the next, the moderate on the right side, they are Murjiya. Who are Murjiya? They say Iman is Iqrar plus Tasdeeq. But wherever there are both Iqrar and Tasdeeq, no bad deed will bring any punishment to that person. This is Zalala. Something absolutely wrong. It makes people bold. Well, we have Tasdeeq, we have Iman. Now I can do anything, I can eat anything, I can do anything, I can commit any sin. It is not going to do me any harm. They are called Murjiya. And the last of all, at the extreme right, they are Karamiya. They say not even, you know, Tasdeekum bil qalb is also not necessary. Even if there is verbal attestation, no sin can do any harm and will bring any punishment to that person. So these are the six main divisions, main shades of opinion. Now we come to the central two. Leave the Khawarij, leave the Karamiya, leave the Mu'tazila, and mind you, the Mu'tazila and Ahle Tashayyu, they can be grouped as one. They have the same position as Mu'tazila. Leave the Murji'a also. But in the center now, there is Imam Abu Hanifa, Rahimahullah, Sayyidul Fuqaha, on the right side of the center, and the Muhaddiseen, with the Ra'isul Muhaddiseen, Imam Bukhari, on the left side of the center. They are very close to each other. Practically, there remains a very little difference between the position of the two. Theoretically, there is. According to Imam Bukhari, deeds and actions are integral part of Iman. And according to Imam Abu Hanifa, they are two separate entities. That's all. But now I'm coming to the last issue. And that is the controversy again between Imam Bukhari and Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahumullah. There we find that the gap is very big. Imam Bukhari says, his position is, Iman increases as well as decreases. Al-Imanu yazidu wa yankus. You read Quran, you do good deeds, Iman will increase. You are keep the company of the ignorant people, people who have taken the wrong path, your level of Iman will decrease. Everybody can feel himself that this is the truth. There are various ayat of the Quran, I don't have time now at my disposal to refer to them. Zadat hum imana, Quran says. وَمَا زَادَتْهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. So Iman increases. And Iman decreases. This is the position of Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah. The position of Imam Abu Hanifa is just opposite to the contrary. لا يزيد ولا ينقص. Iman cannot increase, cannot decrease. It neither increases nor decreases. How to reconcile the two? Having the Raisul Muhaddiseen and having the Raisul Fuqaha, we can't ignore any one of them. Maybe, you know, the Shawafi, the Hanabila, the Malikiya may ignore the position of Imam Abu Hanifa. But the Ahnaf cannot ignore Bukhari. Because according to the Ahnaf also, the most authentic collection of the Ahadith of the Prophet is the Sahih of Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah. No doubt. They accept Bukhari as Asahul Kutub Ibadah Kitabillah. The most authentic book after the book of Allah. After the book of Allah, that is Quran. But I thank God, He gave me the light. I have resolved this controversy. I say with full confidence, whatever Imam Bukhari is saying is 100% correct. And whatever Imam Abu Hanifa is saying is also 100% correct. How? You might be feeling he has gone crazy. The two contradictory statements. Yazidu wa yankus. La yazidu wa la yankus. And both 100% correct. Yes, 100% correct. They are speaking about two different aspects of Iman. At the level of real Iman, Imam Bukhari's position is 100% correct. It increases, it decreases. But the real Iman, the conviction in the heart, and Imam Abu Hanifa is a jurist. He is looking to the legal and constitutional aspect of this issue. He is talking about legal Islam, legal Iman. And legally speaking, constitutionally speaking, this legal Iman gives you a social, legal and constitutional status in this world. You are entitled to all the rights of a Muslim in a Muslim society. All the rights of citizenship, full citizenship in an Islamic state, in the system of caliphate. Well, this legal status is stationary. It can't increase, it can't decrease. It remains the same. Is it not resolved? But all these things can only be resolved when you understand the two different aspects of Islam. The legal Islam, the real Islam. The real Iman and the legal Iman. The legal Iman, Islam is based on that. Shahada, verbal attestation. And at this level, deeds are different and Iman is different. At the legal. At the real Iman, Iman and Amal become one. Here again, Imam Bukhari is correct 100%. And this Iman increases as well as decreases. Now let me give you a very simple example of that. Suppose there are two sons of a father. Muslim father, two Muslim sons. One is very muttaqi, very muttaqi. He says tahajjud also in addition to the five obligatory prayers. The other is fasiq, fajir. He only intermittently says prayers. But he is a Muslim, legal Muslim. When the father dies, will their share in the inheritance be equal or different? Do you give more to the muttaqi, to the mutahajjid, and less to this fasiq and fajir? For all legal purposes, for all constitutional purposes, all Muslims are equal. And this is the most important point regarding the constitutional structure of Islamic State, of the system of caliphate. There are many misconceptions about that system. Please note that this is the most basic thing. Abu Hanifa, a jurist, focusing his attention on the legal aspect of Iman, says, Iman includes iqrar and tasdeeq, but not the deeds and actions. Iman and amal, separate entities. And this Iman gives you a legal and constitutional status which is absolutely stationary. It neither increases nor decreases. Imam Bukhari, looking to the real aspect of Iman, which is based on the conviction in the heart. This conviction in the heart, definitely the deeds are decided and controlled by the convictions. So here, Iman and Amal, they become one. Al-Imanu, Qawlun wa Amalun. And this Iman increases as well as decreases. Yazidu wa Yankus. So briefly, we have finished three topics. Two aspects of Iman, legal and real. What's the connection between Iman and Amal? A different proposition at the legal level of Iman and a different position at the real level of Iman. The solution of the age-old controversy about whether Iman increases or decreases or doesn't increase nor decrease. Al-Imanu yazidu wa yankus, la yazidu wa la yankus. Yazidu wa yankus at the real level. La yazidu wa la yankus at the legal level. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.